Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Naughty Web Council. And today we have Glumpuddle back with us. Glumpuddle, good to have you again.
Indeed it is.
And we have a long-lost friend who is rejoining us. Warrior for Jesus, hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Good to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be here, thanks.
We're once again international, and it's just cool to have our Aussie friends on, because I feel bad with having so many podcasts with the, you know, Americans, because, you know, I'm American, Glumpuddle's American. I was living in England for a while, but so I could occasionally get gents on, but, you know. Anyway, it's nice to have you back, and we've missed you.
Thank you very much.
We wanted to discuss today just a couple things, really. It's been pretty interesting just to think about as far as what kind of changes are being made. We know now that, according to an interview with Ernie Malik, that of he just says, let's see, where can I, so I don't misquote him. He says, we consolidated seven islands into five. Mm-hmm. So we know that Fantasia Kidding was helping us out with this. We know that the Lone Islands, the Island of the Voices, that is the Island of the Duffers, and Ramandu's Island will be present in the movie. But those are the only islands that are actually confirmed locations. And so it's sort of a it's been interesting over the last, I guess, when did this come out? Well, the 14th. So
yeah, about a week ago.
About a week ago. Glumpuddle, do you want to just share some of the thoughts from the forum and what's going on there? Because I was on there a little bit, but you spent more time there.
Yeah, I think initially everyone felt a brief touch of panic, because I think when you first read it, your first thought is, oh, that means they've cut out two islands. That's just everyone's first instinct. And then you realize, no, he said consolidated. So we can suppose that means they've taken the events from seven islands and squeezed them into five. And I think that's, you know, that's the interpretation everybody has kind of come to agree on. And so right now in the forum, everyone's just kind of speculating, well, what could they possibly combine? Could you take Deathwater and somehow move that onto Dragon Island? You know, that's stuff they're speculating about. You take the places where they find the lords and move them around. Overall, the reaction in the forum is definitely not – I don't think it's overly negative. Probably. In fact, people are generally – sorry? Warrior?
It looks to me like – well, it might just be me, but it seems like some people are really freaking out about it. And most people are – you know, they understand that you've got the seven islands consolidated into five, so they're not taking away the islands fully. So it's – more a matter of trying to retain the spirit of the books, I think, and the events that happen there, rather than go from one island to another and have seven in total, which might be a bit much for a movie. Yeah. It might be a bit too episodic or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think people understand it to an extent. I mean, there's definitely a little bit of concern in the forum of, oh, they've this is probably going to lead to even more changes, and, oh, man, I hope they get this right. I hope they don't mess it up, but... there are only a handful of people who are really freaking out about it. I think in general people they're open to the idea of it at the very least.
I think it's interesting, you know, Glumpuddle, you were talking about this, how, I mean, a lot of people are kind of dismissing Burnt Island, almost, you know, saying, well, okay, fine, I can do without Burnt Island. Which we can assume is one of the islands, but he doesn't say it's one of the islands. And you made an interesting point about an island. I hadn't really considered as an event, as a location that might be merged or consolidated with another. And that was where Lucy and – I'm sorry, my brain is fried. Lucy and Edmund meet up with the lamb, who, of course, is Aslan at the end. I never considered that as an island.
Yeah, I mean, he says we've taken seven islands, and we've taken seven islands and consolidated them to five. Now, there are potentially – now, we're just going to make the assumption he's counting the Lone Islands as one island and not three. I guess that's fair.
Sure.
And I guess they only land on one, so that's fine. But there could be eight islands if you look at it this way. There's the Lone Islands, Dragon Island, Burnt Island, Deathwater, Island of the Voices, the Dark Island, Ramandu's Island, and Aslan's country. Now, everyone, there doesn't even seem to be any dispute about this in the forum. Everyone is just assuming that Aslan's country does not count, but Burnt Island does. And I guess that could make sense. I can understand people taking that point of view, and that does seem like the most likely one. But I think we have to be open to the fact that when he says seven, we're not 100% sure what he means.
Well, to distinguish between Aslan's country is where Reepicheep went and where they meet at the lamb being Aslan.
So yeah, everyone in the forum is just kind of assuming that when Ernie says seven, that he's not counting Aslan's country, but he is including Burnt Island. There could be eight islands if you look at it this way, if you count Aslan's country, and that would be in order: the Lone Island, Dragon Island, Burnt Island, Deathwater, Island of the Duffers, the Dark Island, Romanda's Island, and Aslan's country. Those are eight locations right there. And we're assuming that he's not counting Aslan's country and he is including Burnt Island. I mean, personally, Burnt Island is, I just think it's funny that people kind of make a big deal out of that in the forum. To me, Burnt Island is just not on my radar at all. I'm not on the edge of my seat hoping to see Burnt Island in the movie. That's not just one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing. But I just think it's worth pointing that, you know, at the moment, the accepted interpretation of seven does make the most sense, but we don't necessarily know for sure.
I don't know how many people are actually upset about dropping Burnt Island. Like Icarus, certainly, he says, well, dropping Burnt Island or merging that in with Dragon Island is totally fine with me, is, you know, something he says. He says it's the kind of thing you often accidentally skim over if you're reading the book fast. So
yeah.
I think the real question tends to be, and this is kind of the common theory, is that Dragon Island is going to be merged with Deathwater. That seems to be most people's guess.
Yeah, by which you just mean that there's somewhere on Dragon Island where there's this pool that turns things into gold, I guess.
Yeah.
Which you can certainly see a possible connection there with gold.
Yeah, but it just seems sort of, I don't know, sort of odd to me. I can, I don't know if you want to read it. One of the posters made a good comment about kind of each island having their own distinct feel.
Mm-hmm. That was Icarus, yeah.
That was Icarus.
Actually, why don't I read that real fast?
Sure, go ahead.
That was a great post. Icarus said he was saying how he didn't like the idea of combining islands, and he said, "To me, the islands aren't just incidental locations to facilitate a little bit more plot. They are unique characters in their own rights. Each has its own particular style, themes, and characteristics. Consolidating seven islands into five is almost as bad as if they had consolidated four pevensies into two." Now, I wouldn't necessarily – obviously, that last part's kind of an extreme, but you see what he's getting at, where, like, you know, this is almost like cutting a big character out of the book.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It does seem a little bit – I think in some ways it would almost seem weirder if there were – if you had the dragon situation and the Deathwater situation both play out on the same island. I would almost expect them to – I would expect them to say – this doesn't really flow well. We'll have to change more to get it to flow better, and we're going to mix the two a little bit and not have them be two separate places on the same island. I think that's kind of that's kind of the feeling I get. Warrior, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think I'm with Icarus in that they're very distinct islands. They do have – it's not just the events that take place, but the whole feel, the atmosphere, the ambience of the places. But it is one of those tricky tightrope walks that the scriptwriters have to deal with, in that it's very episodic sort of adventure, but it all really needs to be there. Like, removing one element can break the whole thing apart. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I've been considering, is that, like, we talk about putting Deathwater, combining it with Dragon Island, for example. You don't just put them together just for... Well, it's just quicker that way. There has to be a reason for it. There has to be some sort of logical reason in the plot why you have Deathwater on Dragon Island. Those two have to be connected somehow. You don't just want to throw them together. So that could potentially lead to more changes. Another thing to consider is, like Deathwater, for example. I mean, it's not just the fact that, oh, it's really cool having an island turned into gold. Or, I'm sorry, having a pool that turns things
that
into gold.
Cool.
That'd be cool too. I don't want to get the filmmaker's ideas. So I think I'll just won't go into that. But you know, the part that makes that powerful is you see Edmund and Caspian and their greed and how they kind of turn on each other. Then they see Aslan and they forget everything. To me, that's what makes Death's Water powerful, even though the Gold Water is cool as well. So I don't want them to just say, "Oh, let's have, you know, a pool of water on there." Maybe that's where Eustace finds the, you know, maybe there's a pool that does that in the cave, and that's where Eustace finds, you know, the gold or whatever. It's like, no, it's not just the fact that it turns things into gold that's cool. It's what the characters learn as a result. And so I think that's really important to keep in mind too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just sort of trying to. I'm trying to think of any other possible alternatives, and here's what I'm throwing out. Keep in mind, any one of the Seven Lords, if they want, they could get rid of and kind of, well, not really get rid of, but they can move them to the table, to Aslan's table on Ramandu's island. It
Yeah,
would be
or
very
anywhere,
easy.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no one is found on the island of the Duffers, so they could have them find someone there. I mean, they could do all kinds of things. It's like the musical chairs.
I almost wonder if I don't know, I'm just thinking about, you know, Eustace being I'm almost wondering if they would combine Dragon Island with Eustace being turned into a dragon with Coryarkin's Island. I don't know, it's just something I'm throwing out there, just because, you know, again, we don't have a confirmed location for Dragon Island, but I'm just thinking about, you know,
Yeah, but we know that Eustace is transformed into a dragon. Fantasia Kitty pointed out, we know that Eustace is transformed into a dragon, but we don't know that the actual location, Dragon Island, is in the movie.
Yeah, and
He, that could happen somewhere else.
we don't know if it's the same way. I would guess so. I would hope so, just because it's such a fun part of the book that most people love. But I don't know. Maybe it's my fears speaking here. But that's just something I'm just trying to be open to what other possibilities might they go for. I really think that the Death Water and Dragon Island seem the most likely combination.
I think it's just hard to picture something other than what's in the book. Like, you try and wrestle with it. Like, what do people who adapt, say, Homer's The Odyssey do in that sort of situation? Because Voyage of the Dawn Treader follows very much the same sort of episodic nature of that.
Yeah, it's
I'm looking at the forum here, and Narni Weber, her name is Erebus Tarkina. She says that Dragon Island and Romandu's Island, combining those two, she's going down the list and saying, "Oh, there's no way that can possibly work. They can't, you know, anyone can see that's not going to work." And she kind of goes down the list, and just the thing to keep in mind is like we don't know. Like they have this whole thing with the MLG, this kind of plot they've added, and this unfathomable fate thing. Maybe this whole unfathomable fate thing is kind of tie everything together more some way. We're presuming that's what the reason for it is, and so again, it's. But kind of back to the old days, anticipating Prince Caspian, where we're so that they made a couple fundamental changes, and so we're very limited in our ability to speculate. We can't say, "Oh, these two islands could not possibly work together." We don't know what they've changed. Maybe they could work together.
Yeah, it's. I think this. I'm just looking here through some more of the posts. One person points out that one of the significant elements of Deathwater is that's where Aslan shows up. In, you know, the biggest way on the voyage until perhaps, well, until Lucy, of course,
The very
speaks with
end, yeah.
him. Yeah, but I think they're. I just don't know. It's just so. I mean, I think. I guess I'm just gonna have to, for now, just go with the combination of Death Water and Dragon Island for kind of for the gold element that I think you mentioned, Glumpuddle, just because. You know, could they tie in an island where things turn to gold with, you know, Dragon Island? Well, maybe, you know,
Yeah, they could, but more importantly, can they tie in the emotional themes together? That's the most important thing.
Well, because you do have multiple things going on. For one thing, you have Eustace and Edmund becoming a little bit more closer, Eustace and Reepicheep becoming closer with the whole dragon incident. You have Edmund and Caspian fighting on Deathwater. There's, you know, it's kind of an emotional roller coaster if you were to keep it intact and yet just combine the two onto the same island.
Yeah. And we talked before, I think, about mixing up islands in terms of order. Like, I've often thought that, you know, it might actually be better for the movie to move Dragon Island, or that is to say, move Eustace's transformation and make it later in the story, give the audience more time to get to know Eustace before turning him into a dragon. And I've often thought that you might want to do that because, you know, it happens very early in the book. And I think in terms of a movie, it might be better to do that later in the story. Make it more of a, you know, the completion of an arc.
Yeah.
And but I never considered combining islands, but I certainly thought about mixing up the order. It might be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Then it retains the character development arc, but, yeah, it gives you more time to relate to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes the transformation a completion of an arc rather than kind of the beginning of one.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. And just to you gave us – I might just run down through the order of all the islands here briefly just for reference. First, as far as – well, they visited, like you said, three islands before they get to the Lone Islands. But with the Pevensies, they get to the Lone Islands, then they get to Dragon Island, then Burnt Island, and then Deathwater, where they find Lord Restamar, then the Island of the Voices – of the Duffers, that is, then Dark Island with Lord Roop, and then Amandu's Island with Argos, Marvamorn, and Revillian, and then finally Aslan's Country.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of space to shift things around, I think.
Yeah, I could have seen them shifting Deathwater too much earlier on, for instance.
Yeah. I think it's funny.
Go ahead, Warren.
I was just saying, I don't envy the scriptwriters because. No matter how true we want it to be to the books, still have to make it work in movie form, not isolate the fans in the process.
Yeah. Honestly, though, like, I talk about moving stuff around, and I'm not against that idea. In fact, matter of fact, I think it might actually be a good thing. Yeah, it's a great book. Yeah. We have to make the movie work just as well. And I think you can absolutely retain the important themes of the book, which is ultimately about longing. You can ultimately definitely retain those themes, whether you move the islands around or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think as far as like, it's gonna be really weird to say this just because it seems so far behind us already. The one thing that still I'll say concerns me the most is the unfathomable fate as a potential change. I mean, this I think. Okay, look, you know, I looked at this. I think okay, he did say consolidate, so I can kind of assume that. Most of the things I love from the book are probably going to make it in here some way. Maybe not the way they were in the book, but so this more confuses me rather than makes me angry or freaks me out. I just sort of, I wonder how they'll do that, you know?
Yeah. It's funny what you say about, I'll probably see pretty much everything I love about all the things I love about the book in there. There's been a few people have commented in the forum, well, gosh, maybe if they took out the MLG. I mean, the assumption is that the reason they're doing this is for sake of time. You know, having seven islands would just take up a lot of time. We only have 2 hours to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And a couple people have commented, man, if they took the MLG out, maybe they'd have time to get every island in there. And I guess, is it really just about time? Is it just, well, we only have 2 hours? Or is it just more about plot points? And maybe in terms of cinema, it is just more efficient storytelling to minimize the locations a little more.
Well, because no matter how long or short it is, you need it to flow well. You know, I remember I've seen some movies that were actually pretty long movies. I thought, wow, that was a short movie. And, you know, I've seen some movies that, man,
true.
That was the long – what was that? You know, what was that? Gone with the Wind? No, it was only 2 hours long, you know. Because it seems so long. I think ultimately they're probably concerned about flow, like you said, plot points.
Yeah, or maybe a combination of both. You know.
Yeah.
But that's what is the reason for this? Is it just number of plot points? Is it flow, or is it just about time, or is it a combination of both? That's what we don't know yet.
He doesn't say. Ernie doesn't give any indication why. It's not like
this is part two of AslanCountry.com, their interview with him. And the first one he was very tight-lipped, incredibly tight-lipped, and now he's giving us some answer, but very little to go off of. And I think what it ultimately comes down to, what limits our ability to speculate, is that we're missing some very crucial pieces of information. I'm sure the unfathomable fate one, if we knew what that was, it would be much easier for us to speculate right now.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're totally flying blind, which is the fun part.
Which it is
just
fun.
One of those. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Just one of those things that with what I'd like to see is with Voyage of the Dawn Treader, go back to what's important, the characters and the story. Like, I love action, I love special effects, I love all that, but the focus on the characters and the story is what is makes it unique to, say, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or any of those other fantasy franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the things why I think of all the changes we heard might occur that we now know is not going on is Trumpkin. Not because I dislike Trumpkin. I love Trumpkin. I especially love how they did Trumpkin in Prince Caspian. I just thought, man, if they put Trumpkin in there, it's just going to be a little bit more crowded than I'd like.
Too busy,
to flesh
yeah.
out yeah. the other characters. And so that's, yeah. you know, that's an example of one change where I thought, okay, I'm happy now that, you know, it looks like they have a better chance of fleshing out the characters the way I want them to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we talk about, yeah, again, just going back to what I said, where like I think it'd be kind of interesting approaching this as a screenwriter. And to me, the Dawn Treader, it's being episodic. It's kind of like all these little puzzle pieces that you can kind of put together in whatever order you think will suit the story from a cinematic point of view. Right. Obviously, the most important thing is retain what the characters learn, and the most crucial theme of longing, the longing for your one's true home, and ultimately the joy of finding it. That's the most essential theme of Dawn Treader. I think as a screenwriter, it's kind of interesting. I'm not opposed to it. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how they take these pieces around and move them into something that makes for a good movie.
Yeah, it will seem because I do. Well, I was just going to kind of give my concluding thoughts on this, and we'll see about that. But I do really like the little details that, you know,
right.
and maybe yes, am I understanding that they don't always work for film? Yes, but it doesn't mean that, you know. Sometimes I just think, oh, if only, you know. I kind
right.
of have that feeling with Tom Bombadil, you know. Oh, if only, but yes, I do understand some things don't work as well. So,
yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the themes are the most important. That doesn't mean that nothing else is important. I still want to see Deathwater. That's my favorite island on the book. I still want to see, and actually for much of the movie, not see, the Duffelpuds. yeah, those things are important, but they're ultimately, if the main theme of the story is retained, then everything else is kind of secondary to that.
Yeah, that's true.
So concluding thoughts, Warrior, how about you?
I was just thinking, like, how you're talking about there possibly being, you know, eight islands that they were talking about. Where they meet Aslan is the Lamb. We don't know much about that. That could be an island, it might not be, but we know it. They've come from the sea and onto this great big pasture that stretches in all directions but from where they've came. So, yeah, that's a bit of a mystery what they could do there too. I think it's one of those very important parts of the book, but it could be too Christian for some of the audiences, but hopefully not.
I don't know. That's a whole other podcast right there.
Yeah, really. Yeah. we have Narnia and Christianity. There's a whole section for that.
True.
Which isn't it for that. We need Dr. Ellen Ransom for that.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So, do we want to talk about our last bit of news?
Yeah, I guess we can move on. I mean, like, unless you want to talk about the fact that the film was not shot in a 3D format. Ooh, breaking news. That's the only other thing that came out of Ernie Malick's interview.
That's true. And honestly, at first I wasn't excited about it, but I have not seen it. I'm going to see Avatar tomorrow. But from what I've heard about how they filmed Avatar in 3D, I've heard it doesn't look like a gimmick. It doesn't look like, that little scene there was for the 3D. I've heard it just really enhances the story. And now I'm thinking, man, I think it would have been cool to see it in 3D.
Yeah, you know, but I most Narnia lovers didn't like the idea of 3D. And of course, he says it wasn't shot in 3D. You can still, in post, you can still make it 3D.
True.
But, you know, we can probably assume that, capital not there, probably assume it's not going to be in 3D, which I think will satisfy most Narnia lovers.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Then I guess there's only really one other piece of news, right?
Yep. There's Peter. Sort of.
Or so we suppose.
A really bad clone of Peter.
So all we know is, this guy is, there's a stand-in for Peter.
A stand-in, not even a stunt double, which is important to note.
Right. Now, I understand, all the actors always have stand-ins.
Right.
Like, you know, Georgie Henley for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, she had a stand-in named Kaylee. And just like, you know, because for child actors, of course, that wouldn't really be an issue for William Mosley. That's kind of interesting. But for shots where it's just the back of their head or something, you might use a stand-in. And someone just happened to find this piece of information, I guess, that, wow, there's a stand-in for Peter. That must mean that Peter's in the movie. And so presumably you would think this means that William Mosley will be in the movie. You know, he'll have, like, a big role or just like a brief scene, you know, we don't know, but it looks like Peter's going to be in the movie.
Yeah. I think I basically made a comment about this in the forum. Basically I said, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this. I'm trying to think of the example I used. Okay. Here's an example. Okay. In the film The Return of the King, at the beginning you have Treebeard, okay? And what it basically emphasizes is this is a continuation of the story into kind of a new portion, and yes, there are these characters still exist, but they handled it to the point where you're not thinking, for one thing, you don't think, oh yeah, the Treebeard cameo, he doesn't belong here. But then you're also not thinking, oh wait, where'd he go? Man, I really wanted to see more of that. So you don't really, they did it well there where you don't have either emotion going on, and that's what they need to have for the audience. They can show, yeah, you know, Peter, you know, he's still around, but he's not going back to Narnia, but they shouldn't have the feeling, oh man, I really wanted Peter in this movie. But they also shouldn't feel, oh, what, did William Mosley just not want that much more fame for the Narnia movies? You know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is I don't want them to force it. Like, if they really are just writing the script and say, you know what, it would be really great. It would really work well to have Peter, you know, and or Susan here. Like just for maybe the beginning of the movie, or maybe for some flashback or something, I don't know. Then yeah, but let's not say, oh, it'd be so cool to get Peter a cameo and the fans would love that. You know, I think, that kind of like what you're saying, that's the wrong way to do it.
I wonder if Peter might drop Edmund and Lucy off at Eustace and his parents' house, maybe at the beginning of the movie, and go off to, college or whatever.
Exams and everything that he's studying.
That's what I wonder.
Susan, because it's just so, you know, to clarify, Peter in the book at least is off studying for exams or whatever, and Susan's off in America.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think I was kind of encouraged when I saw, oh, well, so far we only see Peter, not Susan. I think it actually would be, if they did that where, like, he drops them off and, you know, it would be kind of neat where it shows him in kind of a new role, and it also emphasizes the centrality of the Seven Friends of Narnia with Susan not being there.
Wouldn't it be? I never considered that. Wouldn't it be interesting? Not like you're going to say, oh, Susan's not here. She's distancing herself from us or whatever, but just wouldn't it be interesting the fact that Susan's not there. Like, you know, people seeing the movie for the first time might not really think much about it, but wouldn't that never, that could be interesting. I never thought of that.
So it could be handled well. This does not really concern me. It's just sort of frankly, I'm more concerned about how they pull off Dark Island than this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, for a while that we were worried that Susan and Peter were actually going to be main characters. And it would be on the ship for the whole movie. And actually, we know, in fact, that I think Adamson himself had said that was something they considered. And very quickly, fortunately for us and for themselves, I guess, too, decided not to do. And but just kind of like what you're saying is just, you know, I'm obviously not totally opposed to Peter and or Susan being in the movie. But if it's just, you know, kind of a brief thing, that might be kind of interesting, actually.
So we'll see.
And we will.
Once again, we're groping around in the dark.
yet another podcast where it's like, okay, here's the news, everyone. We have no idea. Why'd you even bother listening to this? All we can see is we have no clue.
The less we know, the more we speculate.
That's right.
And the more fun we
also
have.
And the less we know, the less confusing it is. The more we know, it's like, what? It's like the more we know, the less we're sure about.
which is
awesome, of course. I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, indeed. Well, this was fun.
Yep.
We've got more stuff to talk about, certainly, in the future. But for now, I think this is good.
Yeah, I'm still hoping to get something, hoping that something cool will come out before Christmas. I'm kind of surprised that something, I guess the production blog was fairly big. We got pictures and everything, and which confirmed about that Caspian has Rendon. But I guess we can save that for the next podcast, I
Yeah, we can
suppose.
say that for the next podcast.
Yeah, we
Or at
will.
least maybe to when it develops a little more to see, maybe, I don't know, him using it in the trailer or something, and I don't
Yeah,
know.
that is something we've talked about in the past quite a bit.
Yeah, how
So,
will it be used?
really, all there
Yeah.
is to say is, yep, he's got it. Caspian's got Rendon, so
Yep.
kind of
And we kind of stopped the mailbag in a way for a little bit, just because I sort of forgot to start mentioning again at the end of each podcast that people can send in questions. But if you do want to send in a question that you want to go to the podcast, then send an email to rillian@narniweb.com with the subject line podcast. And if you want your name included, put it at the bottom. If not, don't include it. And Glumpuddle, you have a email as well.
Yes, I
Although
do.
I don't know if you're willing to get all the hate mail that you'll naturally get, but
No more than usual. It's part of the job.
yeah. No, but Glumpuddle's is glumpuddle@narniweb.com, and Warrior, I actually don't have yours memorized off the top of my head.
Warrior, WARRIOR, 4, the number 4, Jesus, JESUS. At yahoo.com.au.
All right. Well, how many days to go here? Just under a year, of course.
I don't
Hang
know how
on.
many days
Think
to
that.
go.
I got 354 days to go.
354 days to go, so maybe add a day or two for to adjust for time it'll take me
That's
to get this
right.
podcast out.
At the time of this recording, 354 days.
Thank you very much, Glumpuddle. Thank you very much, Warrior. Good to have you back.
A Merry Christmas!
Thanks for having
Long
me.
live the true king!